Okay, today's topic is Chol Stam, and we just start with the Gemara. The Gemara says the Chazal were concerned that people would adulterate their milk, adulterate the kosher milk with non-kosher milk. They put some of it in, mix in a little bit, a certain amount of it in. So they said that you have to be a yid has to be watching, somehow overseeing the making of milk. Okay, and if not, then the milk is not kosher. Okay, there's no machlokes about that. That's called chalvakum. If a guy makes it without a yid watching it, it's chalvakum and it's usher. That's clear in the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch and everybody else. So the question we'll talk about today is, well, the first question is that why do we see so many people who are very fine from people who don't eat chalv yisrael? They don't make sure that the yid is watching when the milk is made. That's our main question. And then we're going to discuss some related things from this kind of food that's now come to be known as chalav stam, chalav that's made without any company oversight. Okay, so first thing is to understand halacha. Why would people do this? How could they justify eating, drinking this stuff or eating these dairy products that are not chalav yisrael? So the first step is a machlokes between the Pri Chodesh and the Chasam Sofer. The Pri Chodesh holds that when Chazal said that a yid has to watch the milking, the yid has to be over there watching the milking, Chazal, that they were just saying to you is that you should know there's this concern, there's this possibility that the milk might be adulterated, and since because there's this problem, so you have to do what it takes to make sure that the milk is kosher. So watching is a good example of what you should do, but lav davka, that's what you have to do. And so Mamela, if there are ways to know it, like for example, what Pichodesh talks about, it says, what happens if there's no treif animals bechlal in that area? The whole area has no treif animals, it's just cows. There's no horses or camels or things to milk. Or what happens if it's very expensive? The other milk is so much more expensive than the cow's milk. Then he says, then that's fine. Chazal didn't bother you. They didn't say, in that case, you also have to be around and watch it also. And so therefore, then he says, so the milk is motor also. Okay, that's what Chasam Sofer says. I'm sorry, that's what the Pri Chodesh says. And the Chasam Sofer says, no, it's a takana. It's true that the reason for the takana is because, they might mix in other kinds of milk. But once Chazal said he has to watch it, then he has to watch it. Okay, so a lot of the later Achronim, the Chacham Sadam, the Aruch HaShulchan, and many others follow the Derech of the Chasam Sofer. And most of the American Hashkachas follow that as well, and say that it's Chalav Yisrael means is that he has to be watching. You can't use other rayas that prove that the milk is really kosher. The Chazon Ish is a notable Pesach who follows the Pri Chodesh, and according to the Pri Chodesh, then milk in America would seem to qualify. Because in America, cow's milk is ubiquitous, it's cheap, relative to all the other kinds of milks are. So it seemingly should be qualified for the Pri Chodesh, who says is if there's all kinds of market forces that tell us that the person is for sure using kosher milk, then you don't have to be cautious that he's using trade milk. On the simplest level, according to Pri Chodesh and the Chazon Ish, we have no problem, and the milk in the United States qualifies, and it's good enough. You don't have to; it doesn't have to be; doesn't need a yid watching when it's being made. Okay.
I saw somebody. They say the Chazon Ish was not make a halacha l'maaseh.
Yes, he wrote it. It's written in the Sefer.
No, I understand it's written in the Sefer.
But you can't imagine a B'nai Brak. Brak.
Okay, so that's not my issue. If you wrote in Sefer like this. Yeah, he didn't say it. He didn't mean it. Okay, so, you know. Okay. No problem. So, you know, we'll come back and tell us that he didn't mean it.
What is an American Mishra? Finding him.
Okay, good. Okay, now, so that's one reason that's Pri Chodesh. And Rav Moshe is more well-known. Lots of people know this. Rav Moshe, you should know, even according to Chasam Sofer, it's mutter. What we drink is mutter, even so. He says like this. He says, you know, if you only look in Yerideya, I'm sorry, if you only look in this siman in Yerideya, you see this Gemara, it says that he has to watch. He says, but you know, there are other dinim ha-Torah where a person has to see something, and in those dinim, seeing is a good riot to something that's really true, but there are riots that are even better than that. Okay, and one of the riots that's even better than a person seeing, in other dini hatayra, in all kinds of halachas that have nothing to do with Chol Yisrael, in other halachas, an anan sahadi is a better riot than a person seeing. Anan sahadi means is as if we could say edus. meaning we no one saw anything, but something is so obvious, it's so clear to everybody, that it's as if we could all say, we're sure that that's what really happened. Okay. So Moshe says is, so there's a two-step reason to be allow milk in the United States, even without a yid watching it. One is, the farmers know that if they were putting anything else besides the cow's milk, they'd get fined and punished and they would be put out of business and all kinds of things. So he says, so from we have Anan Sahadi that the only thing they're putting in is cow's milk. They have enough reasons to push them that they would only do that. He says, and second is, and since Anan Sahadi is just as good as a person watching it, so basically it's Chol of Israel. Basically it's as if a yid watching it. Who's the yid? Me and you and everybody else. We all could say Eidus that it happened. It's not, we didn't watch it with our eyes, but we have an even better raya. And Chazal said you have to have a raya that's on the level of seeing. Good, we have an even better raya. We don't have a weaker raya, won't work, but better raya should work, and that's good enough. Okay, so he effectively he's saying is that the milk is Chol Yisrael. Okay, so you know, it, of course, it caused a little issues. So they made up this term called Chol Stam. Rav Moshe doesn't ever use that term. To call Chol Stam to mean the milk that Rav Moshe said would be mutter because it's an Anan Sahadi versus the traditional Chol Yisrael, they call that Chol Yisrael. Okay, now there's a third truth. He called Chol of a company, right? So people that doesn't flow so well for most people. Chol of a company, so they call the Chol of Stam. They made up this new term. Okay, so now there's a third truth of Rav Moshe which we're not talking about. Actually, it's a very important truth, the longest truth, and it's very important about this whole Shaila. What I told you is the first truth. The third one is very important, but we're not talking about that today. Okay, we're just going to go with these first two, which is the more simple understanding, etc. Now you should know also, well, before I finish this part, is that Rav Moshe, in every tshuva where he writes about this, about why it's completely mutter to eat this, what we call Chol Stam, he says, but you should know, but a Baal Nefesh, a person who's more careful, should do the traditional Chol Yisrael, with the Yid watching it, at whatever that takes for Yid to make a Chol Yisrael, that's what a person should do, and shouldn't be some Mechamis. Okay, but in Din he said it's mutter, and that's the basis why lots and lots of people who are nice, Shomer Shabbos, fine Erlich people, are eating that. Now,
the truth is that you see from the tshuva that people were drinking the milk in America before he wrote the tshuva.
Mask him.
So you can't always for sure say that, you know, it's based on this tshuva that we're making.
Mm-hmm.
He was addressing being matter of an existing minik.
Yes, so you're right. You're right. It's true. So he was No. The people were just doing what they were doing. Right. People were wearing clothes and they weren't checking for shotness either. So people were.
But you can't come along and say, let's say you feel the third tshuva, for example. You can't come and say, it's a whole head is based on Moshe. Anything we're doing is based on Moshe. So you have to follow. That's what I'm saying.
So I think that at the time, that's how it is. I don't want to use the word limitos, but along the lines of limitos, we saw people doing it, and here's the justification for it. But today, a person who sits down to think it through will say, the reason why I should do it is because of that. He's not going to say, I'm doing it because my Zaidi did it, and then it was
probably. I'm saying, we're not married to exactly what Rav Moshe has to say, because, the whole answer is based on that, so you can't, you know what I'm saying?
A number of people in right, lots of people didn't agree with Rav Moshe, and one of the Chalkas Yaakov has truvas about this to explain why he disagrees with him. And he disagrees with both points. Rav Moshe has two steps. One step is the farmer for sure wouldn't do it, and therefore because of the government oversight and because of his business practice, all kinds of things, and therefore that's an Anan Sahadi. And the second is that an Anan Sahadi is good enough. Okay, those are two separate steps. Okay, and the Chalkas Yaakov argues on both of them. He says is relying on government oversight and testing and all those things, that's not good enough. And second, he says is, and I'm going to get back to this later, is that Chazal said they wanted a very specific thing. They didn't say we want a raya that's on level 8 and you could use a raya that's on level 9. They said I want a very specific thing. The yid has to Yisrael Re'ehu, the yid has to watch it. And don't tell me you have a raya that's better than that. Chazal said they wanted a very specific thing, not like Rav Moshe. They were just pegging it on this table and saying, give us a raya that's level 8 and you could use a raya that's level 9, that's also good enough. Okay. So Lamai says, again, so there are those who disagree, as you know, lots of people who don't agree with what Moshe says, but the majority of Shomer Shabbos Yidden in America, in fact, eat milk that's not Chol Yisrael. What we call Chol Stam, Chol Company, whatever you want. Okay. Now our next step is, within the Pre-Chadosh or Moshe, this question is going to fit into both of them. Which country does it work in? The truth is, Rav Moshe is talking about in America, and I don't know exactly where the Chazanish was talking about. What about if you want to get milk, dairy products in Argentina? I think the Chazanish was talking about
imported dairy products to Israel.
Okay, imported from where?
I think maybe Britain.
From Britain? Okay. And what if you want to get it from Canada or China or France or India or Ireland or Russia or Rwanda? Okay, so which places are going to qualify for what we're talking about? Okay, so it's going to get it to the people who live there. They're Yidden in some of these places. I'm not Rwanda, but in a lot of these places are Yidden there. People who visit, that's a lot of people who visit. And for us, as Hashkachas, is when someone comes and says, we want Hashkacha on a product that's made in, I don't know what, in Mexico, would we give Hashkacha to it in New Zealand? Would we give Hashkacha? Would that be considered good enough for this, what we call Chalv Snam? So Rav Moshe and Chazanish, to my knowledge, don't talk about that. They don't tell you where to decide about this. And in my trying to piece this together, it turns out that the Hashkachas take four different approaches to how they make this decision. Okay? This is how I break it down. You say it your own way if you want to. The first is, there are people who say it is, that I'm going from the most liberal to the most conservative, if you want to call it that. Okay? One group of people say it is, we trust the government. If the American government lets you import dairy products from that country, then that means there's government oversight. The government's making sure. If the government would say is that you could bring milk from New Zealand, it must be that New Zealand is doing a good job to make sure it's only cow's milk. Okay? If the American government says it, okay, so to me that's a mistake, if I could say that, because the point of Ramosha was not that the government oversight is what makes it mutter. Government oversight makes it an ansahadi. So thinking about does the government allow milk from France or does it not allow from France? It's not the point. The point is there an ansahadi? So government oversight is not the thing. Government oversight that makes an ansahadi, that's what's important. Okay, so the next step was people who said as long as there's a law on the books that you have to use cow's milk, that's enough. Once there's a law, we're good to go. Where they get this from? In the early 1990s, Rishlaim Zalman Auerbach told the Yidden living in Russia that if there's a law on the books that says that the milk has to be from cows, you could drink the milk. So he says, see, if there's a law on the books, that's good enough. That's all you have to have is law on the books. Okay. So the question on that is the same. What does law on the books mean? You have to have a non-Sahadi. And L'chaira, what's going on here is that he wasn't saying as long as there's a law on the books. Well, think about the early 1990s in Russia. Okay, it was the Soviet Union was before, during, and after collapsing. Okay, and it was a society of people who were very into following the laws. It was a very strict, and you know, people followed the laws that they were supposed to. So to them, he said, if there's taka such a law, then looking at that kind of a country, the place where they're holding by, and people all do what they're supposed to do. So if there's a law on the books that they have to do that, if there's no law, then people do whatever they want to. But there is such a law, and people, overall, that's a place where people follow the laws, and then you should be able to drink it. That doesn't mean that if we go to Italy and there happens to be a law on the books, that doesn't mean we're going to be able to say that. In that place, we're also going to automatically mutter just because there's a law on the books. Okay. So now, third possibility, Rabelsky said, was, we'll look at each country, we say, let's see, how big is the camel milk industry? How trustworthy do they seem to be? How important is their trade to the United States that they would be on top of things? Lots of different ways of looking at things of how a country ran. And the ways that he said it just left a question, which was, a lot of the things that he was talking about, seem to need a lot of insight into the runnings of a specific country. It's like creeping into their brains and saying, trade with America is so important to them that they'll be very careful about this thing. Well, that's how we would analyze it sitting over here. That doesn't mean that's the way the people in Portugal look at it. That doesn't mean that they have different culture and way of doing business and this and that. It seemed like it wasn't like a rabbinic call. It seemed like it needed to be a little like a political decision or industry people. It didn't seem like a bunch of rabbis should stroke their beards and come up with that. It seemed a little like missing. So the fourth, which is similar to it, is where Rav Schachter and Rabbi Heinemann said, and they said was that you should only take it from countries which enforce their laws, where there's no corruption and payoffs, and overall it's a lawful society. Okay, now so. The difference in that and what Rabelsky said was that it's very much focusing on, are there laws and do people follow the laws and does the government not corrupt and can you just get away with something by paying somebody off? It's very much focused on laws, not on other general societal things. And it opened up the possibility that there are ways to objectively measure that. I have no idea whether in England people follow the law, they don't follow the law, the government is corrupt or not corrupt. But there are other people who do. There are other, objectively, people who look at a country and are able to analyze and say these kind of things. Gives us at least a possibility of figuring these things out. Okay, so most Hashkachas, I think, follow the fourth way of looking at it. And they take dairy products from the U.S. and Canada, Western Europe, Australia, and New Zealand, and a few other countries here and there, okay? But they won't, most hashgachas won't take dairy products from India or China, okay? Because they don't think that those people meet these criteria. I didn't say everybody, but most of the hashgachas are weary about that, okay? And it also, this whole looking at it like this makes you wonder about taking dairy products from Mexico and Argentina, no insulted, and Russia and Ukraine. It's questionable in these places. It makes it a little questionable. India and China seem very much over the line. And these other places are a little more questionable, okay? So, and most people, when they hear these different ways of looking at it, think that the fourth, or you could think the third is similar, is basically what Moshe had in mind. And it's very questionable to take from these other places or to go to the other places. Okay, now, I do have to mention, go back to the Chalkas Yaakov for a second, that one of his reasons to argue with Moshe was, he said, is that when Chazal said that you need a raya of a person watching, and not just a raya that's on a certain level, he says Chazal were concerned that once you, if you be make with all kinds of rayas, let a raya be good enough, then all of a sudden it will become a slippery slope, and people would end up taking in places where the rayas are not so good. Okay, he says, so the Chazal said, you know, this thing is too fluid, for a pun. This is too not so clear exactly what's going to be a good. What do you say? Yeah. Whether it's good or not good. I forgot to talk about milk powder. I should have said something about that. So it's too fuzzy. And therefore, Chazal said, I want a very specific thing. And the riot now, 50 years later, is that, look what's happening. The people are taken from countries where it's not even so clear. And the hashgachas and people debate whether, is that country good enough? Is that country good enough? So you see certain seichel to the way he was looking at it. Okay, let's move on now. Okay, so the Rama says clearly that if you make something, if something was made on kelim, if somebody cooked chalav akum on kelim, the kelim have to be kashered. You can't use them without kashering. Okay, that's very straightforward din that you have to kasher. So that's fine that's for sure the din for chalav akum. What about for chalav stam? What happens if I go to my neighbor or I buy something, a packaged piece of food that was made on kelim from chalav stam? Do I have to kasher those kelim? Okay, so I'm going to split it up from consumers and commercial applications. Okay, so consumers, the way I see it is there are three different ways Rabbanim approach this question. Some say, Rama said that you can't eat, they have to kashya after chol vakum. Well, chol of stam, we don't eat chol of stam, we only eat chol of Yisrael. So chol of stam and chol vakum is the same thing. So Rama says you have to kashya after chol vakum, so you have to kashya after chol of stam also. What's the difference? If I only eat chol of Yisrael, then I don't eat chol of vakum. I don't eat chol of stam. So from my perspective, it's the same thing. Okay, you have to kasher after it. Okay, that this is an approach, a more chassidish rabbanim will take this approach. They say chol vakum is chol stam is the same as chol vakum. The Rama says you have to kasher after it, so you have to kasher after it. Others say no. In din, it's really right. The prichadash or Ramosha, it's right that you should eat chol stam. But I'm just being machmir. I'm extra machmir on this. The Hankin looked at it. He said I'm just being extra machmir to only eat the traditional chol Yisrael. So Mamela, I don't have the kasher, you know, it's okay. Then Rav Henkin, I don't remember if he held the Kermosha or the Pichadosh, I don't remember which way he held, but he said it's only a chumrah to not eat chol of Yisrael, to not eat chol of stam. And Mamela, he said, you have the kasher. So you don't have the kasher after it. He said, you don't want to eat it, you want to be extra makud, that's fine, but you don't have to be kasher after it. And this is more like a yeshivish way Rabbanim will answer, will tell people they don't have the kasher. And then there's a third, a compromise, so to speak, and in between, and that is who say is no, you should kasher it. If you're getting food from someone who made it on chol stam kelim, you do have to kasher. But they'll be making for kelim in factory settings, okay? Because in a factory setting, chances are anyhow the kelim, there's stam kelim in Yemen, there's kelim probably this bottle, the amount of product that's made at a time, how many cookies do you make on the line? Probably the bliyas bottle. So they
regular house also stam kelim.
So that's true. Stam kelim works in a house also. That's true. So in the house, but you may know that it was made yesterday. I'm saying in a factory, it's a little more unknown. But also in a factory, they make a thousand.
But yeah, is bottle beloy?
No, it's not. No. So it's bottle b'shishim. But they say, come on, but how many candy bars are you gonna make on the line if all the ingredients are power? So commercially, They say it's going to be bottle. In a home setting, that's not good too. In a home setting, it's not going to be bottle. Okay, so the people in between who say, if something is labeled DE, they'll say, if it's cool, if the Hashgacha writes on a DE, then you could eat it even though your person eats only Chalvi Shol. The Hashgacha has to write DE because they didn't cash the Galen, but for you, you might be able to do it. Okay, now let's move to commercial. Okay?
And also because they're clean, you can be a kasher.
Oh, I forgot it. Yes. Sometimes the clean even qualifies or as a half a kasher ring or something like that. Yes, that's true. Okay, now. That's for consumers, how they look at this kashering. For people in Hashgacha, it's a different angle of looking at that. Okay, so the first thing is that, before I tell you my examples here, is that when they go from Cholav Stam to Cholav Yisrael, everybody kashers. Okay, they say if you're making something that's being labeled as Cholav Yisrael, so then that includes lots of people who would, like I mentioned before, who think you 100% have to kasher between one and the other. So if you're making something that's being Cholav Yisrael, you for sure have to kasher like regular 100%. You do regular kasher. Okay, the questions are more when you're making something that's going to be parav. So the thing that's being made parav, that's not specifically for people only to Cholav Yisrael. So that's a question. So the first question is like this: do you ever have to do libun gomer after something from that was Cholav Stam? That is, if you put food on the fire without any liquids on it, then you have to do, the only way to kasher that kli is to do libun on a sheet pan. I'll get to sheet pan in a second. Okay, a sheet pan. So you have to do libun gomer. But one of the times you don't have to is if the food that was on there was heter. Okay, like if you put kasher meat onto a pan, then you want to kasher it now so it was heter was on that pan. So then you could just do hagol or libun kal. You could do hagol or libun kal. So Rav Shechter said, so this is probably you listening, you know this. Rav Shechter said this. He says this: we give Hashgacha on thousands, hundreds of thousands of Cholav Stam products. Obviously, we hold Cholav Stam is heter. That's why we give Hashgacha on it. We tell people you're allowed to eat it. So we hold that it's heter, then we can kasher after that thing that was heter. It was heter, we kasher it like heter, which is we do Liban Kal, we do Hagol onto it, and we can kasher it. That's what he said. Now he says, but we have to think about the people who don't think like us. There are people who think that Chol of Stam is Isser and they have to kasher after it. So he says, so we have to wait for it to be any Ben Yomer. That's our cheshbon, why that's good enough. Just wait for the Kalim to be any Ben Yomer. For those people, so they should be getting food that's kasher l'chatchila. But from our responsibility to kasher, we of course treat the food as heter, and therefore we could kasher when it, as with Liban Kab or Hagol. We don't have to do Liban Gamer. Okay, Rabowski said no. He famously said, no, we don't take any position. We tell people, if you want to Chol of Stam, you can eat this. If you want to Chol of Yisrael, eat this. Or you want to eat Parav, eat this. So when we're giving them Parav food, it has to be good for all their standards. Okay, most Hashkachas follow what Rabbi Shachta says, which is, they say, we don't need to leave in Gomer, but we do just need to wait to be in Bin Yamin. That's one question. The next question is, Kavosh. The way you kasher, if something was Kavosh, in a Kli, if it's Isser, then you need to do Hagol. And if it was Heter, certain heter and certain other cases, then you can do mili b'iru or iru klirishon. So again, should we treat this as isur heter? Okay, so that's a you would think at first that that's the same machlokas, right? Belsky or Bishachta, you think they should think about it, but it's not true. Belsky said that over here you could be mekel. There are other studim over here also to reason to think to be mekel. So he said, You could be mekel and you can kasher it with mili v'iru or iru klivishin. But again, that's only when you're going from Chol of Stam to Parav. From Chol of Stam to Chol of Yisrael, then you have to treat it like it was Isser, because again, those people buying Chol of Yisrael, many of them can treat it like Isser. Okay. Now, one case that's a little off the topic, a drop off the topic, is Gvinas Hakam. This is what you were talking about, David. And that is, Gvinas Hakam is, the din is, that it needs to be Balta B'Shishim. It's not much unless it's Balta B'Shishim. But there are others who argue and say it's bat even baroiv. The Chacham Sadon says the makom hefsed meru, but you could be samech that it's gvinas akam is bat baroiv. Okay, so that's very significant, because in most cases that a person uses a sheet pan with gvinas akam, they're not putting on straight gvinas akam. They're putting on a cake that has in it gvinas akam or something like that. There's something that has, it's an ingredient. The gvinas akam is the treif cheese is an ingredient in the food that they're making. In almost all cases, that's going to be less than 50% of the food. So the Malcolm Hefsid, we would say, is it was bottled, and you can actually even eat the food. I mean, you can't eat it because you could see the cheese, but essentially, the food is not treif, okay, because it was bottled baroiv, which would mean is you wouldn't have to kasher the kelim at all, according to that side. So that Shechter and Rabbi Schwartz both thought that it's an extra tziruv to say you can get away with doing just libun kal on the pans, on the sheet pans, and that's a big nafkamina. To, again, I'm using a sheet pans and bakeries, for a bakery to become kosher. If they were making treif beforehand, a lot of times what was treif beforehand was just the cheese. And they said, as you could do Liban Kal instead of doing Liban Gomer. Liban Gomer is almost impossible. Not impossible, close to it. But Liban Kal is within range that a person could do that. And that's often a big, the difference between being able to come kosher or not. Okay, and last is, we spoke about it, I'll just mention it, that there's a Shaila, and Chalkos B'Yamin has different places where he brings, about whether, if you kashung if the Chol Akum, or Gvinas Akum, and the requirements for kashung will mean you can't kashur it at all, essentially it'll be hopeless, you have to throw it out, are you mechuyev to kashur in that case? The case of Cheres is negated to. So like if a dairy plant had ceramic pistons, and that in their homogenizer, or packing in their distillation column, and it would mean you couldn't kasher. There's a shaila in the chorin. Whether do you say maybe b'di'evit I don't have to kasher at all? Okay, not for now. Just you should know such a shaila. Okay, some other little tiny things. That is like this. Ramosha's tshuva to allow chol of stam is talking about the regular milk, right? That's his milk that you buy. Milk comes from cows, and the government has a big hakpada that milk from cows should only come from cows. Okay. Most people assume that the same thing is true if it comes from other milk products, like milk from goats. Okay, even though I'm not so clear that that's so obvious, and there's the same hakpadas and the same oversight and the same anan sahad is there that goat's milk is goat from goats as cow's milk is from cows. I'm not
same level of illegal.
It's true. Why does
the government care about cow milk? Well, what's against the people put camel milk?
Because they're big into protecting babies. It's like it's baby children eat milk, so it's like a big hakpada that milk should be pure and without any questions to it. I'm not sure if the same hakpada is stretched to things like goat's milk. That's like a more specialty item. Like you want to get there. I'm not saying it's not illegal. Legal is not the point. The question is there an antahadi? When you pick it up, are you sure that this is goat's milk and not cow's milk or horse's milk? Is it the same level of confidence? So people seem to assume that it is.
America.
Okay. People seem to assume that it is. I'm just mentioning such an idea. Okay. Second is, Ramosha.
You might even say, you might even argue that there's even more.
Because?
This is a specialty thing. What do you mean you're not giving me what you specially promised?
Okay.
Cow's milk.
Okay, I can do that. Fine. Second is, Ramosha's tshuva is talking about commercial operations for making meals. L'chaira, it doesn't apply if people who go to just buying a farm stand. Okay, the people who sell raw milk or just had a farm stand, the guy selling milk from his, he has three cows in his backyard and he's milking them and selling them to people. L'chaira, in that case, none of this anansa hadi applies to that kind of a person. I don't know if it is or is not illegal, but it's not nearly the same thing as a lamer's dairy who's making milk. It's not the same thing as, you know, Joe who in his backyard who's got a bunch of cows and selling them to people.
This goat thing was like, by the way. I'm
aware of it. Okay. Okay. And the last thing is, the very last thing is, which we're not going to talk about, is that the standard practice when you make Chol Vishol is to take out the cows that had this certain surgery, that displaced Abmason to the DA cows. Chol Stam does not do that. Whether you're Mechuyev or not, that's not for today's discussion, but it is a difference between them.